It's time to play Blogger Woo Stars and Celebrities. What do they know about the Big Ten? Do they know things? Let's find out. Welcome to MGO Podcast 10.0C, our third in our season preview
series. It's 11.0C.
74.0C. It's 2064. Welcome to the MGO Podcast.
We're still alive and still relevant.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be something.
Oh, well, now it got Marvin very quickly. very quickly.
Michigan.
Well, we didn't make a joke
next.
About like a losing streak against Ohio State or anything. So
all of us thought it and decided not to, and then Ace went and did it anyway.
That's what I'm here for.
Kind of meta joke about the joke, but there we go. Here we are. How you doing there, Ace?
Doing all right.
All right.
Yeah.
People like this content, Brian. This is, by the way, that's Brian who was talking earlier.
No, that's Ace.
Ace is talking. That was Brian just
I'm
talking.
I'm Brian.
I'm Seth.
Maybe we should say who we are.
We could all do our own names.
Who are you?
I'm Ace.
There we go.
I'm Seth.
I already did mine. You already did yours, too.
Well, now we're all done.
I think we've introduced ourselves properly at this point. This is the third part of a three-part podcast.
I'm just trying to forget this concept of losing to Ohio State.
We're trying to be professionals. We're trying to introduce ourselves. We even had a discussion about asking people to rate our podcast on iTunes.
Yeah, you might actually hear that on the outros.
But
which
only,
would be wild.
Only do it if you give us 5 stars, because
otherwise you're a jerk.
Yeah, what are you doing? It's like an Uber driver. Like, who rates an Uber driver a 4?
Have you read our reviews, by the way? Most of them mention the fact that we don't make it with killing cats.
Really?
Like, no kittens were, like, harmed in the production of this podcast.
Well, hopefully that remains true, but I can provide no guarantees.
there's a theme there, too.
All right, Michigan's going to play some football. They're going to start off with Middle Tennessee State, a middling Conference USA team that should...
At night.
I'm not going to complain after last year's SMU game, which was terrible and
right.
awful. And
if you're going to play a game at night, might as well do it the first game, like in
and
August.
Is it cool?
Yeah.
And the games that we're playing, that the games that are on at the same time.
Yeah, I was worried this was going to like ruin a really good night of watching football, and no, it's not going to do that.
Because the first week is so spread out because the NFL isn't going yet, so you get...
And we get like a week zero, too, so like Miami versus Florida happens the week before.
That is so stupid.
It's also not a great game, necessarily.
No, it's just... Well, the worst part is that I have like this huge season preview deadline that I'm always terrified about because I have so much to write. And then people are like, just one more week until football, and I'm like, what? No! Stop that!
Yeah. The countdown to week zero, I don't appreciate.
I need that week.
We're already on Josh Metellus week day.
You got to stay solely on my Twitter timeline, which is doing the proper countdown right now.
Yeah. Anyway, when the countdown's over, we play MTSU.
Yeah.
Are we just moving right on from Middle Tennessee State?
Oh, like there are 4 widespread. Stock still is gone. Like.
Seth wants to justify his hail to the victor's work, right?
I've had to preview this team, sir. I've had to read about them.
This is usually me, but it's nice to not.
You understand how I feel now, and I understand how you felt all these years when we were like, no, Ace, we don't want to talk about
the team you spent a week previewing in the
summer. You previewed Appalachian State. I would not do that.
Stop talking. All right, so Middle Tennessee State is a mid-major team that runs a spread.
They have a little slot bug that's going to be dangerous.
All right, great.
Yeah.
Moving on to Army, why are we playing this game?
Why in the hell are we playing this
game? I saw an article this offseason where it's like Don Brown's been working on this game since January, and I was like, why?
That's what you have to do.
No. Why are we playing this game? Why is Don Brown spending time preparing for Army instead of Ohio State?
Not only is this scheduling a service academy that runs like a really funky option offense, scheduling the one that's coming off one of the best seasons in Service Academy history.
And they go for it on like 75 third, fourth downs last
year. Yeah, they're like analytically way ahead of the game.
They take Oklahoma to overtime in like a 4-possession game.
To the point where people are having to watch like a streaming of a guy watching a pay-per-view with his bare feet in the picture so that they can make sure that Oklahoma doesn't lose.
So you're signing up to play this incredibly slow, terrifying game with no upside, just so you can have some people parachute into the stadium and have a flyover.
Yeah, you can still have a military appreciation day without a service academy
this is,
there.
This is like Dave Brandon level stuff here.
Yeah, this is like rematching Appalachian State. Thanks for reminding me of that. Seth.
Like,
yeah.
let's just play a team that has an offense that Ryan Day.
Eastern Michigan's right there.
There's nobody else playing.
Bus him in.
Nobody else is playing Army this year. Rice is the next biggest program.
Well,
yeah, because it's crazy stupid to schedule Army.
Notre Dame scheduled them last year,
and that was dumb.
That was dumb.
It's always dumb.
So, to describe Army, they are going to move 3 yards every single down, including fourth.
Yeah,
and that means they're going to get
Nobody needs Army described
and
to them. We've
just
seen
like
the service
chew clock, and we're all going to be
well,
tearing our hair out.
They also run the 404 tight defense, which is
that's beyond the scope of a podcast because you need a PowerPoint.
It's pretty easy to explain. I'm not explaining how the 4-4 works. I'm explaining how it's going to be annoying. It's like
all right. So it's going to be more annoying than you describing it on the podcast.
It's going to be incredibly annoying.
Okay.
They're going to empty the plate. They're not playing anybody. Western Kentucky is probably the best team they face next year.
Okay, we don't need to spend time on Army. We should spend time.
Michigan does.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Not us.
So then we have a bye week.
Yay! There's two byes this week.
That bye week might be important depending on the health of Ambry Thomas's guts.
Right.
And then we get right into it with Wisconsin.
At Wisconsin,
which, Jonathan Taylor against Michigan's defensive tackles doesn't make you feel great.
However, at least they don't appear to have a passing game that's going to necessarily like rip open Michigan's wounds in the secondary.
Yeah, so Alex Hornibrook transfers. Where did he transfer again?
FSU. Florida State, where he expected to step in and start. I don't think he's going to.
So he gets run off? I don't know what happens there.
He did not get run off. He went to Florida.
That was a weird situation.
It was a weird situation.
Yeah.
And then Wisconsin actually brings in Graham Mertz, who's the third-rated quarterback this year. Not a great year for quarterbacks, so he's like 60th in the composite.
Yeah.
But still, they're like
quite a pull for Wisconsin.
Yeah, their biggest quarterback commit probably of the rivals / we pay attention era.
Yeah.
But it kind of feels like vibes coming out of Wisconsin are that it's going to be Cohn. And
that Mertz is actually still in a battle for number two right now.
And Cohn was very, very bad last year.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely hope that... And Wisconsin also lost a lot on defense. So they
in the back they did, yeah.
So the different... I mean, losing a lot on defense relative to their projected starting lineup last year is different than losing a lot on defense relative to what they brought into the Michigan game.
That's true, because what they brought in the Michigan game is basically what they'll have this year.
Well, they were so beat up on the defensive line.
Yeah, they get both those. So last year they were playing Loudermilk, even though he was injured, and he was not himself, because they had no... And they were playing Caden Lyles, who is going to be their starting guard this year, offensive guard. So, like, their defensive ends last year were so bad, and that's what everyone could do to them. When you have bad ends, you can just knock guys over.
But they lose T.J. Edwards and Ryan Connolly and Andrew Van Ginkle from a very good linebacker corps.
I mean, but, like... Do they still have their infinite factory of great?
It's Chris Orr is still there. Chris Orr started ahead of all those guys at one point, and Zach Bond is their like new outside linebacker who's going to move to strong side this year, and he's going to be just like all the other outside linebackers. But you know they need to replace an inside guy and an outside guy, and they need to replace a lot of their secondary.
There weren't as many like. When the guys weren't playing last year, the dudes that came in behind them weren't as like eye-poppingly good as we've seen from Wisconsin over the last few years, where it was like there's no difference between these guys.
And we also have to remember that Paul Christ is one of the worst game day decision makers in college football.
That does ease some fears about
last year's game actually could have been a lot tighter
if they weren't throwing on third and three like idiots.
Or just going for it on fourth and three. Like, I was so happy every time they punted.
Yeah, so this guy's got the best offensive line in the Big Ten, and Jonathan Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets into third and three, and it's like, let's go to the shotgun and put Garrett Groshek in the game. He's terrible. He's so bad.
Yeah. Speaking of which, that's the other thing they're going to have to replace, is they only returned one starter from that offensive line.
Yeah,
and that was an amazingly good offensive line.
Well, and Van Landen should be a starter anyway. He played enough.
Yeah, Van Landen locks down one spot. He was the highest rated tackle in the country, although I don't know how you necessarily suss that out when you're the third tackle on your own team. You're not necessarily, you're probably not the best tackle in the country, but he's probably pretty good. And they've got Tyler Biadasz at center, who's probably an All-American tackle or center. But other than that, they got a lot of spots to put guys in where, yes, it's Wisconsin, but you can't necessarily rely on them to have like four all Big Ten linemen every year.
Yeah, and there's a situation, you know, with their wide receiver core where Quintez Cephas got kicked off campus.
Quintez Cephas, he got acquitted, and he's petitioning to get back in, and so he is a possibility he's back.
Well, that would be big for them.
Yeah, because otherwise their receivers are both short and inefficient, which is not a great combination. No. Like A.J. Taylor and Danny Davis, we talked about Hornibrook having to throw balls into tight windows. A lot of it is because receivers didn't get any separation.
Yeah, they were absolutely terrible in that department. And then Hornibrook had to either throw them open in tough situations or throw terrible interceptions.
Yeah, they do have a good tight end. Jake Ferguson's pretty good.
Yeah.
But, they're kind of lacking, especially since Taylor has not... I don't know whether it's because they just insist on using Groshek as a third down back or if there's some shortcoming on Taylor's part, but they don't really use him in the passing game, even though you'd think giving that guy the ball in any situation would be a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, he did not play on passing downs all last year, so I think that's got to change him because they're going to have to ride him. That's just what they're going to have to
do. Yeah, and it's not like Groshek is some guy where you got to get that dude out on the field.
No. he's fine.
I really didn't understand. I mean, I guess, maybe it's a pass pickup, a blitz pickup thing with him, but still, I think just having one of the best players in the country on the field would be more your preference.
And this is a nooner, so that's nice that it's not at night.
Yeah. Yeah, a night game at Camp Randall would be no fun.
Fox's new thing where they're putting their best games of the week on at noon is going to be a godsend for Michigan fans who don't want to play at Happy Valley at night.
Yeah. Also for those of us who enjoy covering those games and then watching other good football games.
Yeah, I mean, that's less of a problem when they're road games, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, Rutgers!
And we're done.
Did they score last year? They did score.
Yes. The Pacheco.
It was annoying that they did that. But, I mean, this is a year where Chris Ash is coaching for his job and is probably not going to keep it.
Oh, my God.
You can do better, Rutgers.
So the crazy thing is, like, Michigan was recruiting Sitkowski for a while.
They were.
Like, he was at IMG.
And then he lost his starting job at IMG to Zach Anakstad.
So that was...
That was around when teams were like, maybe we should not.
And then Rutgers was like,
I mean, if you're Rutgers, it's like, this guy was a big-time quarterback at one point recently. Yeah. We might as well take a shot. That's probably a higher-profile guy than they're normally getting.
All right, we're going to do this. We all say the same thing again. This is margin of victory at Rutgers. Actually, it's at home, but margin of victory against Rutgers. 1, 2, 3.
52.
44. 44, I said 52.
54.
54.
Right. Oh, man, I came in shockingly conservative there. They had, like, the worst passing attack statistically in like the last decade plus, I think.
They were beyond
historically bad.
Can we play a game, yards per target for their receivers? All right. Now, like, yards per target, like, at 9 is pretty good. 7 is, like, you're a valuable player. 5, you're kind of getting to the, why are you even throwing it at your direction?
Five is terrible.
5 is terrible. Okay, so they're Raheem Blackshear, their running back, 5. Bo Melton, their top receiver, 4.5. Shamin Jones, 3.4.
Shamin. It's like something that Michael Jackson ad-libs in one of his songs.
Yeah.
A Michael Jackson ad-lib probably would have gotten about 3.4 yards per target.
You know it.
Yeah. Their next receiver, Eddie Lewis, 4.8.
Eddie Lewis.
Yeah. Their third tight end, who's coming back, 4.4.
I think we get the idea.
Yeah, they're all bad.
Wait, I got one more. I got one more. Wisconsin grad transfer tight end Kyle Pennison, 3.
All right, great. Thanks. Those were some really fascinating numbers. The week after, Iowa rolls into town, so Michigan does not have to go to Kinnick. Hooray!
Thank the Lord.
And this is kind of the first point at which Michigan faces an experienced quarterback, so they get Nate Stanley back. And Nate Stanley is...
He's getting NFL draft hype in the way that Big Ten West quarterbacks do.
Yeah, he's like the Clayton Thorson of the league this year, where it's
He's not Mitch Leidner. This is somewhat explicable. Yeah. But do I think he's a future first rounder? No.
But they do have two great bookend tackles. You know, their skill position players are not great. I mean,
they got guys at running back.
Yeah, they have just guys.
I mean,
sometimes Iowa has, like, you know, Akram Wadley or a hyphenated receiver that's really good. But this kind of Iowa skill position, like, Smith Marset is just a dude. Like, their wide receivers are just kind of there.
They would very much like Oliver Martin to be declared eligible this year.
Yeah, which I don't think is going to happen because, I mean, Michigan was trying to keep him on campus. And, like, his, I don't know. Whatever happens there happens. But who knows
with the NCAA?
Yeah, so they are going to be a team that does the Iowa things and hopes to win at Michigan by scoring 17 points. And if it happens, it's because A.J. Epinesa is completely unblockable and Michigan can't make it work.
Which is entirely possible.
Hopefully the Gattis offense is able to pull some people out of position and allow Michigan to move down the field without having to block that guy for 4 seconds.
Yeah, and unlike last year, Iowa does not have three really good defensive ends.
They don't have great defensive tackles this year, so you can just go down the middle and ignore the end. Like, their defensive tackle situation is they got one guy returning who's pretty good, and then, like, their two deep is terrible. They were, like, trying to find guys from JUCO, and that wasn't working. They recruited a guy, and then they couldn't get him in, and then Michigan State picked him up.
And then isn't Mario Ojemudia's brother starting in their secondary?
So here's the thing about Ojemudia. He got a lot better since we judged him to be terrible.
Did he?
Yes. He is now on the NFL draft radars in a number of places. Ojemudia is somebody who, as we move through our draft to get in period, you might be looking at him, actually.
I will not be looking at him.
Yeah, you are. You've formed a strong opinion on Ojemudia.
He was so bad.
But I mean, you know, sometimes cornerbacks get a lot better.
They play a cover two almost every down, and you can get away with that at a cover two cornerback a little bit more. Iowa fans still think that he's going to be the hybrid space player this year because they moved last year's hybrid to just free safety.
Doesn't that seem bad when the cornerback might also be the space backer? Like, Michigan is dealing with this problem, and that's, like, our, like, big issue with the defense.
I mean, it certainly doesn't look great for Iowa, but
they've got some other guys.
They returned all their corners from last year. I don't know why they'd have to shift them around.
Yeah.
It's more about, like, their hybrid, their linebacker situation.
But this feels like, you know, the usual 7-5, 8-4 Iowa, and it's just, like, don't be the team that gets clonked by them.
Yeah, don't. Well, and it's much, and Michigan doesn't get a mechanic, so.
Yeah, it's much harder for that to happen at home. So, feeling fairly decent about that. Then Michigan travels to Illinois, where
Brandon Peters.
They will play one of the worst programs in the country. And maybe it'll be Brandon Peters, but it's not going to make a difference because Brandon Peters is just going to be snowed under. They have Reggie Corbin, who's a good running back.
Yes.
But,
Illinois feels like a sadder version of Michigan under Rich Rod. It's just the defense is terrible. They have Rod Smith, who was like the quarterback's coach. He's now their offensive coordinator.
I follow a couple of Illinois fans on Twitter, and their defensive coordinator spot was open for like 6 months.
Uh-huh.
That's suboptimal.
Like, they fired their dude at the end of the season, and then 6 months later, they didn't.
So they just didn't bother to replace Hardy Nickerson?
I mean, I think they've replaced him by now.
You know who they hired? Himself. Lovie Smith declared himself defensive coordinator and then brought his son on to coach linebackers or safety.
I mean,
they're good old nepotism hire.
They're so
That's how you save your job.
They are so doomed.
And they've had the worst offseason, too. Just like their best player on defense had like a freak accident. He hit a diving at Bobby Roundtree, defensive end. And then they had like a they recruited 2 4-stars. One of them was a 5'9 quarterback who everyone else thought was a slot receiver. And the other one is a cornerback that, like, wow, I'm surprised that guy went to Illinois and he's injured.
All right. Well, that's going to be Rutgers-esque. And then the meat of the schedule, 4 of Michigan's last 6 games are against Penn State, Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Ohio State. And they sprinkle in some other teams in there. Penn State is first up at Penn State. Rumor is that this is not going to be a night game because of the Fox thing. It might actually be at noon, which I will take.
Thank you, Fox.
But also, I feel like Penn State is in for a Wile E. Coyote year. So Moorhead leaves, but they still have McSorley. They still have Miles Sanders. And they bring in Ricky Rain, who we talked about in the previous podcast, who kept doing the same stuff that Moorhead was doing.
Without, like, the interesting ideas that flow out of that.
Right.
And make defenses have to stay on their toes against you.
And their wide receivers really dropped off last year as well.
Yeah, that was rough for them.
So, you know, I kind of feel like they have a new quarterback. Their senior, who was going to start, just transferred out of nowhere. So it's either Sean Clifford or who was the other guy?
I have to look it up. I think Sean Clifford's pretty much won the job, so I need to look at him.
And they have like some. They've recruited some guys. So Ricky Slade is kind of a. I thought he was. You said he was a 5-star, but I thought he was more of a like top 100 guy.
No, he was a 5-star.
Really?
Yeah, he's. I call him 5-star Caron Higdon, which is basically Mike Weber. Caron Higdon. Like that's the kind of style of player he is.
Okay, but yeah. Mike Weber was not a 5-star, and neither did he play like it. I don't understand that comparison.
Okay, he's. Caron Higdon, but Caron Higdon with higher recruiting rankings is, yeah.
So then, I mean, their defense, though, should be pretty intimidating.
We can't move on without mentioning Speedy Eaglet.
They got a slot receiver.
They've got a very, very explosive slot receiver in KJ Hamler.
God, it's too bad we can't give that guy to Gattis right now.
I mean,
yeah, no kidding. Says the guy who was screaming for that the entire time he was being recruited.
They've got some other. Their tight end, Pat Freiermuth, had a pretty. He was a, you know, New England guy who blew up.
I just think that they're going to be really disappointing on offense.
I can definitely see that.
They hired a Schmo, and it's just. This is when the.
Franklin himself was a pretty good offensive coordinator in his day.
I mean, it's been a while since Franklin coached offense in any real capacity.
Right.
Also. Yeah. I think we're starting to see a bit of a Gattis effect, and that Gattis being gone has really impacted their receivers.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like Mack Hippenhammer is next up. Like,
yeah, they have some real issues on at outside receivers.
Justin Shorter is going to be there. He's a 5-star who's like 232 pounds.
Yeah, but they don't.
He did almost nothing last year. And they also had issues last year with like Juwan Johnson, who was supposed to be the next dude, like could not hang on to catches.
Yeah, I think they had the most drops in the country last year.
Yeah, it was bad for them. So, like, I mean, I'm not sure how much of that is a coaching thing because, like, you kind of coach your guys, like, put your hands on the football and then hopefully it sticks. Like, so
yeah.
I don't know how much of that is Gattis, but it just seems like both in terms of recruiting and production, it's gone in a pretty unfortunate direction for them.
Their other side of the ball, though, should be pretty good.
Yes.
Like, they've got Robert Windsor, who's a solid nose tackle. They have Gross Matos, who had 20 tackles for loss last year. They have Micah Parsons, who's, like, a huge recruit, and he's playing linebacker.
Yeah, that was interesting, because he was supposed to be a defensive end. And now they're playing him, like, off ball.
He's a weak side linebacker.
He's like their version of Uche, like, where...
Except he's not a rush guy.
No, really. He's not.
He only had
1.5
sacks last year.
Well, I mean, it's tough for people to get sacks on Penn State because they had everybody getting sacks. So, but like, and he wasn't a full time starter last year, so he was just in there situationally. And like, I feel like that's like he could be like a real blow up. Like he could be a guy
that is
completely
very true.
Blows up. And I think they get most of their secondary back, right?
They lose Imani Oruwariye, who is now a Detroit Lion, and he was their best corner. They do get. I think this is definitely the Brooks Bollinger Memorial 8th-year senior. John Reed is still on
that
defense.
Yes, he is.
What?
So they have a pretty decent corner there in Reed if he's able to get back to the form of what has to be many injuries by this point for him to still be eligible.
I like the other guy a lot, though.
Tariq Casterfield is probably one of the four best corners in the conference.
Yeah, he's great in space. He's just like they play
a
lot of cover, too.
For a cornerback to be.
Well, I mean, he doesn't play a whole lot of man coverage. He plays cover, too, and he's great in flagging guys down.
So this kind of feels like a little bit like maybe Michigan last year, where they have a good defense, their offense is frustrated and kind of coordinated poorly and doesn't really take advantage of all the pieces they have in an intelligent way. And, I mean, 9-3 type team.
Still a punt wizard, Blake Gillikin. Seriously, that guy's incredible.
And then Notre Dame comes up next week, and they still have Ian Book. Miles Boykin is off to the NFL.
We didn't get to see him last year. But,
no, we did not. But they improved a great deal once he came in.
They got a lot better.
Although Wimbush had like the game of his life against Michigan.
We were the only team he threw a touchdown pass against, I believe.
It wasn't the game of his life. It was just a lucky throw.
Well, it was like there
you
were
take
like
that
four,
throw out. It's not like
there were like four of them where he just bombed it downfield, and it's like you don't make those throws. I know this because I just wrote about how you don't do this. So that was frustrating.
Yeah, I think Kelly's a lot happier with Book. I think that's more of his style of coaching, and that's kind of that's what Notre Dame's normally been under him.
Yeah. But they have Claypool, who's, you know, basically Miles Boykin, except a couple inches taller.
Yeah.
And, like, they're kind of going through a transition on their offensive line, if that's correct. Like,
They lost their top two guys. They lost Mustafa at center, who was an All-American, and they lost Alex Bars, who was a really solid.
So not too bad, but, like, got some questions there.
Yeah, although they've got some recruiting talent that's coming up, so we'll see. I mean, they should be decent there. Their big question is the run game, because they were not great. They weren't a great run-blocking team the last year. They weren't a great running team last year. And their only really productive running back was Dexter Williams, who was, like, in and out of the lineup due to suspension, and now he's gone.
Yeah.
But he was their only guy to get a bunch of carries and crack 5 yards. Although Jafar Armstrong came on later in the year and was pretty decent, so we'll see. They might have a guy, but they have some run game questions that could be amplified with Miles Boykin gone and Alize Mack gone.
Yeah, their defense is what I'm more concerned about.
Yeah,
because we remember the defensive ends from last year, and they're all back.
Yeah, well, at least this time we have an offensive approach that means that we're not trying to block them that much.
Yeah. And the good news is that Jerry Tillery, that tackle.
Tillery's gone.
Tillery's gone, and all their linebackers are gone. Yeah, so they're moving there. They call it Rover. Everyone's got their own job. We're for Hagrid's face player, but their Rover last year was Asmar Bilal. He's going to be playing Mike, I think. It just seems like the rest of the linebackers are all the same kind of guy. They're all like 212 to 220 pounds.
Well, and that's not as, I mean, if Michigan can get to those guys with their mobile offensive linemen, that could be a productive 20, 30-yard play fairly consistently.
They also might be a little pliable in the secondary. They lost their number one corner, Julian Love, and then they're relying on another guy who's been around for freaking ever. This will be a name for you. Sean Crawford.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. He missed last year.
I believe he's missed two full seasons. It might even be three due to injury. He has been really banged up, and they're relying on him as kind of like a space player and maybe even a cornerback. And if you're relying on a dude who's been as banged up as he is.
He's like 5'9", too. Like,
yeah, he is also short. He is 5'9", 186.
And that's going to be a space backer possibly for them?
Yeah, and they like him as a slot player.
Okay.
That's how they'd used him. But yeah, I mean, they just might be a little bit thin in that secondary.
They won a bunch of recruits that Michigan was looking at too, and they also got that Navy transfer, Alohi Gilman, who was awesome last year. So
and what?
Safety, strong safety.
Okay.
So that guy is a dude. I'm surprised he didn't pop to you before, because that was the first guy I noticed watching Notre Dame last year. And you know, Troy Pride and Houston Griffith are guys that Michigan wanted at cornerback, and Notre Dame beat them out. So they've got some pretty good. I think they got enough talent back there that whoever they're replacing, they're gonna have a decent secondary.
Next week it's Maryland and the great Gaddis Loxley offensive coordinator. If you want to see touchdowns thrown in a fourth quarter that's completely uncompetitive, this is the game for you. It probably should be pretty uncompetitive. Like,
well, yeah.
Do you know who his defensive coordinator is? John Hoke.
Oh, my God. So, who's their quarterback going to be? Is it going to be Hill? Hill's going to be back?
No, it's Josh Jackson. Because Josh Jackson, Fred Jackson's son,
yes,
who was at Virginia Tech, transferred and is going to be probably their starter.
Well, because it's him or Piggy. Yeah, I was about to say that he hasn't necessarily seized the job the way they've hoped is what's coming out of practice. So Terrell Pigrum has...
Piggy! Like,
Piggy's got a chance. Piggy wasn't bad.
Piggy wasn't bad.
He just got hurt.
Did they play Texas this year? No.
No. But it's possible by the time we get to this game that they're going to be playing like the Air Force transfer.
Yeah, we are talking about Maryland quarterbacks here.
Oh, they have to get through Max Bortenschlager. He's back.
Seriously?
He's still around, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is just...
He was their starter in spring because...
This is the year of Brooks Bollinger.
Yeah, there's a lot of these... Nope. A number of these guys where you go and look on the, like, Connolly stats page, and there's a 2017 in parentheses next to their stats because right. They missed a year.
They have a guy that I thought was going to be really good at receiving. He was a freshman last year, but he's injured this year. Is Deshaun Jones. That's a big hit for them.
Well, they've got a new system. Kind of feels like a year zero. They don't really have very many interesting players that pop
Anthony
out.
McFarland.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, okay, they got a scat back, but like, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, almost 8 yards a carry.
I know. How many carries?
131. It's not bad. Mm. He broke 1,000 yards last year.
Yeah, I got to apologize to Hill the Victor's Byers because he's not Boogie McFarland's son.
Isn't he? He is.
I was told he's not.
He's not.
That was I was misinformed on that multiple times, so I was...
We sometimes dismiss the like Maryland scat back thing, but like Ty Johnson just got drafted relatively high by the Lions and is going to get a like they've got some they've had NFL talent come through there.
McFarland
is a guy who looks like he's going to be a drafted running back.
Lorenzo Harrison is still there.
Yeah, he's another guy coming back from a year long injury.
Right, and then I think they have another guy, Javon Leak, who had nine yards per carry last year. And 7 touchdowns?
Yeah, but like you remember when Michigan played
that was
those
a garbage
guys?
Time, dude.
Like they like yeah. It was just jet sweep. I mean they had Matt Canada as their interim. So like they had this entire offensive system that they're just going to throw in the trash and they're going to try to like Loxley's going to be like, "All right, I got this cuz I did all the Alabama stuff." And then it's like, "You, go be Tua. You, we're going to call you Jerry." And then it's not going to work like he wants it to work. Because we have to remember that Mike Loxley has always been an awful coach.
Yeah, if you go back to the New Mexico State tenure, it was...
Where was he as an assistant in the Big Ten before that?
Illinois. Yeah. He beat... He was...
That's right.
He was... he had the Juice Williams offenses.
So like...
Okay, so that was a success.
Yeah, he beat Ohio State once in that crazy year that we don't talk about otherwise.
Those offenses were not good.
But he was also the offensive coordinator at Maryland during some years when Maryland was not great.
Yeah.
He's always been a good offensive coordinator.
No.
He and Franklin kind of like came up at Maryland together under Fridge.
But Fridge is the OC then. So like...
Loxley's, I think...
Loxley was the running backs coach at Maryland during that time. Yeah. Also known as the least strategic position on the entire coaching staff.
Yeah, I have no... They hired him because he's a good recruiter in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what he's going to be, and then he's going to get fired in 4 years. Moving on, Michigan State comes up. This one's at home to be determined what time it's at. Michigan State, hopefully... We'll probably have a functional quarterback this time around instead of the broken version of Brian Lewerke that they had last time, which means they'll probably get more than 94 yards. But
is this
not that many more?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a decent starting place. I think we can work from that.
Is this quarterback standing behind the same offensive line? Because
they're older, so that...
Yeah, they've been eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
I mean, Cole Chewins is eventually going to be 300 pounds.
They're listing him at 300.
Yeah.
No, he's 6'8", which makes that 300 a little bit less girthy.
Girthy. But they have real issues at running back. I mean, what are they going to play, Connor Ironhead Hayward's son? Like, that guy, I mean, he's burly, but that's about all he is.
Yeah, it didn't crack 4.5 yards a carry last year.
And, like, they have...
Wasn't that impressive. Although he was more impressive than LJ Scott, who was awful last year.
Yeah, well, he... He didn't have a license to drive, so it's hard for him to get to the stadium, so he's really tired by the time he gets there. Actually, no, wait, he drove anyway. Never mind.
Yeah. Since when did that stop?
They have Cody White.
Cody, I mean, they have a...
He's like the Felton Davis this year.
They have a good
year.
Receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, but Felton Davis was like the dude on that team. I don't think Cody White is going to be able to like... I mean, he's fine.
Yeah, Cody White was good in the like, you can hit him across the middle, and he could do some things. Like, Felton Davis was just like, you could punt the ball up to him.
Right.
Felton Davis is what I want Michigan to do with Nico Collins.
Yes.
Yeah.
But and they're playing Julian Barnett at wide receiver, and that I think says something because they are just desperate for anyone who can make some offense out of nothing. And then we have to consider the fact that they pulled the Brady Hoke deck chairs on the Titanic with their coaching staff.
So, like, to such an amazing degree, they literally didn't fire anybody.
No, and so can you? I mean,
yeah, they took Treadwell back from defense.
I've got the full list.
I mean, Michigan.
I had it on the beginning of Hail the Victors.
I have it sitting right in front of me.
Okay,
So quarterbacks coach Brad Salem is now running backs coach and took over as offensive coordinator. Co-coordinator and running backs coach Dave Warner is now quarterbacks coach. Co-coordinator and tight ends coach Jim Bowman is now offensive line coach. Offensive line coach Mark Staten is now tight ends coach. Assistant DB DB's coach Don Treadwell is now receivers coach. And receivers coach Terrence Samuel is now assistant DB's coach. They even flipped guys from different sides of the ball.
Trestle's still in place, though.
I mean, their defense is good. It's just like, let's compare what happened with Michigan last year when it's like, oh, well, this offense sucks. Let's fire this dude and get Alabama's offensive coordinator versus let's just have the same coaches in positions that I didn't think they were very good in before.
And while Michigan's offense was uninspiring last year, Michigan State's was abominable.
Yes, 118th in S&P Plus, like the worst Power 5 offense, I think by some distance. Maybe there was one other team that was that bad.
It was very bad. They were 120.
Rutgers existed.
They were 121st in success
Rutgers.
Rate.
Yeah.
127th in points per scoring opportunity.
And there is, you know, a case to be made that was in large part Brian Lewerke being injured.
And then just playing him through it.
I mean, and then Rocky Lombardi came out and it was like,
So that's why you're playing him through it.
I get it. I get what you're doing
Rocky
here.
Rocky Lombardi completed 44% of his passes.
So I just don't see how that's getting meaningfully better. And then it's like, can their defense play at the level they did last year? Probably. I mean, they get Bocci back. They get, I think, three of their four defensive linemen, or all of them.
They get all of them.
Yeah. And Raquan Williams is, you know, he should have gone to the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. Raquan, why did you come back?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I mean, then Willekes could have gone to the NFL early.
He got a broken leg in the bowl game. Probably he might have kicked out if he hadn't.
Well, they lose Justin Lane, who was a good corner. And had my favorite Sparty No moment of NFL draft season when they were asking him about the guys he covered in the Big Ten, and he was like, "Yeah, they aren't any good." that's your tape against those guys.
Yeah.
So, but then, like, they're really banking on Josiah Scott as like their cornerback. Du jour.
Who's been like around the fringe of their starting lineup for a long time.
Well, he's been
never
hurt.
Like an impact. Yeah.
But like, he's just a nobody recruit from nowhere. And I know that they've done a lot with those guys.
He's an especially nobody recruit.
Yeah.
They were talking about other guys. They were going to talk a cornerback up every year. And
there's the one named Trey Person that I laugh at because it's just, we're literally just putting a person out there and we're going to talk about
Wasn't he the guy who got nailed by Peoples Jones?
Jones and by Nico, too. I have lots of pictures of Person in Hill of the Victors this year. That was one of my little Easter eggs.
Well, I mean, it just feels like this is the same team. And the thing about Michigan State is that they had a couple years a few years back that were anomalous. Mm-hmm. So they had a 6-6 team that went 3-9, and they had a 7-5 team that went like 10-3. But they've been the same quality of team for four straight years.
Yeah,
I don't see that changing.
Been the same exact guys. These are the same guys who were starting in 2017.
Well,
they just haven't gained any weight.
So it's going to be, I don't want to call it interesting.
It's hard to call it interesting when it's like an ass-kicking defense across from just one of the worst offenses you can see.
And like, I don't know how they get they're going to get better because Lewerke's going to be a functional quarterback.
Yeah.
But like, they lost games 6-3 last year. They were so horrendous.
I mean, their bowl game was legendarily bad.
Yeah. And well, and the Nebraska game was also, I mean, the same.
And they had 94 yards against Michigan.
Yeah. So it feels like going to be a lot like some Brady Hoke Michigan teams where the defense really tries to hold it together and then they get down by 7 points and the game's over.
Connolly's gotten projected for 7.5 wins, which sounds just about right.
I would subtract the game off of that, but
I mean, you can win some games in defense and
yeah,
like
but
in some rainy games and
they're not gonna have many games on their schedule where it's like, oh yeah, we're gonna win this one, it's gonna be no problem.
They play Arizona State again. That might be fun.
Is that the return game?
That's the return game.
Okay.
Yeah. Moving on, Indiana.
So they are substituting a rhotic postalveolar approximate for a voice dental plosive.
What?
I prepared this.
None of those are words.
They're replacing DeBoard with DeBoer.
What?
They replaced the word letter D with an R. They've gotten rid of DeBoard.
Okay.
And they replaced him with a guy named Kalen DeBoer.
What?
Who is almost the same guy, except he spells his name a little differently.
I think you should have a podcast with Craig.
I literally just did last week.
I think that would be up his alley. He'd be like, you're speaking my language.
Yeah, but those are, I guess those are letter words.
It is relevant that Mike DeBoard has been shuffled off this mortal coil once again. Down back into the depths of Michigan's athletic department.
Yeah, I was about to say, when does he show up at Shen Peckler Hall?
Where he will push paper for the women's gymnastics team until some point in the future when he is again hired to be an offensive coordinator.
Or the head coach of the women's gymnastics team. You never know. He's about equally qualified.
I'm surprised he's not on Loeffler's staff.
Yeah, he seems to be putting together a San Jose State level yes. nightmare.
Yes. Yikes.
Yeah. You know, he actually had a pretty good strategy against Michigan last year, which was just, you know, exactly Ohio State strategy with not the guys.
Well, at that point, Winovich was hurt and Gary was dinged up, and you double those guys.
Indiana games are always just annoying for no reason.
Yeah. So this one will probably be annoying for no reason. They get Stevie Smith back, Coy Cronk's
Scott.
Back. Scott, yeah, sorry. I mean, who's their quarterback again?
Peyton Ramsey, who's all right.
He's noodle.
They brought in a guy to compete with him again, but I think Ramsey just won the job.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be Indiana.
Yeah, they brought in a redshirt freshman from Utah.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, they still have their receivers, Nick Westbrook and Ty Freifogel.
What?
And WAP.
Westbrook is... This is insane.
Yeah, Westbrook also still there.
This is insane.
Do you know who we didn't mention?
This is what happens when you use your wideout on kickoff coverage in the first game of the season.
Do you know who else is coming back to the Big Ten? George Campbell. Remember that name?
Yes.
Yeah, he's playing for Penn State this year.
As a what?
Receiver.
Huh.
I thought he couldn't catch.
He can't. That's why he transferred.
He'll fit in at Penn State.
So, that's it, right? That's the whole season?
That's the whole season, what?
That's all the teams we play.
Oh, and we got to play Ohio State. So we don't do very well against Ohio State.
It's not gone awesome.
But I think Ohio State may have messed up. Because like last time, it's like, all right, well, they're going to hire Urban Meyer. And this time they hire a guy named Ryan Day, who looks like one of the Munsters.
Does have a little bit of that, yeah.
And two, he goes out and he hires an NFL defensive backs coach whose team has been 28th or worse in DVOA in the pass game for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
And a 70-year-old defensive line coach in Greg Madison to be his defensive coordinator. And
take that, Michigan.
Yeah, it's like, why would you do that? Like, we obviously have a disease. So why are you being like, hey, why don't you come over here and rub all those sores on me? Like, why?
There's also the situation where, if Justin Fields, if anything happens to him, they are in deep.
They're going to be playing a guy named Gunnar Hoke.
Yeah.
Who's a Kentucky transfer.
And a very middling 3-star.
Yeah. So they have some rickety in there.
There is a little bit.
I mean, if Day is a mistake, this is probably the Wile E. Coyote year because there are so many dudes still left on this team.
I mean, it depends because, if Fields... The other thing about Fields is he's not going to be a guy who you can sit back there and not have him run the ball, right?
Right.
This is what I'm curious about with Ohio State is, how much of their offense do they even unpack before the Michigan game?
Well, I mean, I think they're going to be in some games. They were in some games last year. So they're going to have to do what they can need to do to win those games.
Man, they've got to
or lose
schedule,
them by 39.
Their schedule sets up well for them waiting to ramp up the offense because they've got nothing in non-conference unless Luke Fickell gives them a run, which would be hilarious, but I'm not holding my breath for that. And then they don't play, other than Michigan State, who I suspect they'll handle because Michigan State can't score, and that's not until October. They don't play a top 25 team until Wisconsin in the last week of October.
Yeah.
And they've got Wisconsin, Penn State, and Michigan as three of their last five.
Well, I mean, you got to remember that last year they were in games against Minnesota. They were in a game against TCU.
That's true. They do occasionally get into some games that are funny.
Maryland.
And, so they had some...
Yeah, Maryland gave them a real... Anthony McFarland went off.
Yeah, so, they have the possibility where they're going to be in some games. They're going to have to run their dude 10 or 15 times a game, probably. And then... You're exposing that guy to hits, and then, I don't know.
And the running game also took a pretty big step back last year, without Barrett's threat. And when you've got Haskins back there, who was not a running threat at all, J.K. Dobbins' output basically got cut in half.
Yeah.
And Mike Weber was not that much better. So, I mean, they should get some of that back because Fields is quite a good runner, but how much are they going to want to break that out when their backups are bad?
And his performance in the spring game was not encouraging as a passer.
Yeah. You don't want to extrapolate too much from a spring game passing performance, but at the same time, like, they lose. I mean, they lose their top three receivers from last year. Like, you know, we're talking about, or three of their top four.
Yeah, KJ Hill's back.
KJ Hill's quite good. But Paris Campbell was their main crossing route merchant.
Go away.
Yeah. I'm happy to see him gone. Johnny Dixon really came on, and Terry McLaurin is, like, breaking out in NFL training camp, I think, right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those guys who I think we're going to look back and be like, Ohio State kind of wasted you.
Well, they had some other guys to throw to.
They did.
So the other thing about Ohio State is that they have not infrequently had to go to their backup quarterbacks. So I remember when Kenny Guyton would come off the bench and he would just be like, oh, I can do all this. And then, you know.
To the point where some people were actually kind of pulling for him to start, which was crazy.
Right. And then, you know, Cardale Jones comes off the bench for them late in the year. Mm-hmm. Last 2 years ago, Haskins gets in the game late against Michigan.
Yeah, when Barrett breaks his leg. And
JT Barrett was a replacement too.
Right. So all of these guys have gone out, and what Ohio State has been able to do is plug and play backup quarterbacks and not miss a beat. And that is not going to happen this year.
Yeah.
So Michigan has not been able to do that. They've gotten their quarterbacks hurt. And this year, if Dylan McCaffrey has to come in the game because Shea Patterson's hurt, I think they'll weather that storm just fine. So this is kind of an inversion of how it's gone historically for Michigan.
Yeah, because Tathan Martell is backing up Miami right now.
I think he's been moved to wide receiver there.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew he didn't win the starting job. But
he didn't show up to practice after he lost, too.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely a dude.
I mean, I know they chased him off, but I think they're probably regretting that right now.
I would imagine so, yeah.
Because, I don't know whether they had another depth guy on the roster that they expected to be there, but yeah. There's nobody there.
So they're in a precarious situation in a way that they haven't been recently. And maybe they'll get to Michigan and it'll be fine, and maybe not. The other thing is that, you know, half the time over the past few years, Michigan has been there tactically with them. And then just hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, last year is a. I mean, I can't explain last year, so I'm not going to try to. But every other game, 2015, Harbaugh kind of outcoached him, but then, like, defensively, we were a mess. 2016 and 2017, Michigan handily outcoached them, I thought.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be the first year I would posit ever that Michigan will most likely have a pretty significant advantage among the two offensive lines. Ohio State has to replace four starters, and their other one was not necessarily their best.
And they brought in a Rutger.
They brought in a Rutger, although the Rutger guys actually, Rutgers can produce some decent offensive linemen. But that's still a lot to replace, even with some highly touted recruits coming in there.
And then defensively, they were kind of all over the place last year. And they replaced the coaches that were responsible for that, but you still got to.
Yeah, Shiano's not around anymore.
Right, and then you have an NFL guy who's coming in for his first, like, coordinator duty, and then Greg Madison, who's 70.
Well, Al Washington's probably going to be the best coaching hire they made this offseason.
Yeah, but he's not a coordinator. I mean, like.
No, but their linebackers were really a mess last year until the Michigan game.
I mean, they've got Chase Young, and that's going to be a problem for people. They have, the two defensive tackles, one of them's back.
Robert Landers is back. Yeah.
Devon Hamilton was in the lot last year, too, and he's pretty good.
So, I mean, they're going to be good.
But it's not the, like, endless waves of dominant defensive linemen that we were used to. Especially since Landers is good, but he's more of a plugger than, like, Draymond Jones was the playmaker
on that
interior. And their secondary has high upside, but not necessarily guys who have produced a ton so far. Like, Damon Arnett's a guy who Ohio State fans are still a little wary of.
Is he still in college?
Yes. Damon Arnett's still there.
I think he's getting kind of pushed out because Sean Wade kind of is beating him out in spring, and Okuda definitely has the other cornerbacks.
Yeah, Okuda's getting some, like, first-round NFL draft hype, which is largely projection based on his athletic ability, but he was pretty good by, like, some of those Pro Football Focus numbers last year, too. So they could have a lockdown guy, but I don't know. It doesn't pop off as, like, the, like, beyond stacked Ohio State rosters of the last few years. Plus, you've got the coaching transition.
Yep.
And maybe some questionable hires on the defensive side of the ball. We'll see.
They got tough. Tough Bowlen starting at middle linebacker. That was announced yesterday, I think.
All right. Well, so they're vulnerable. Michigan is favored in all early lines, and you can kind of see why. It's mostly just this is a pick 'em, but Michigan has the game at home.
Yeah.
And getting over that hump is pretty much the whole season.
It's so. Almost literally a pick 'em on S&P Plus.
Yeah.
0.2 point projected margin of victory for the bad guys.
Well, we'll see. Going to be at some point, the luck is going to turn, I think, or it might not, and then I will die. That's what will happen.
MCO Podcast 2076.
Yay. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and discuss kind of the Big Ten as a unit, except there will be two units.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go! Let's go!
Underground Printing is proud to present The Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
It's painless, it's online, it's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing takes the aggravation out of custom printing for a group. Whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, or trying to collect sizes and payment for a family reunion, Underground Printing is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with our easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing people down to pay, or wasting time trying to sort out who needs what. We'll set it up and you can just sit back and relax. We can even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit us at any of our convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
You might be investing on your own or working with another advisor, but how would you grade your results? I'm Nick Hopwood, CFP founder and president,
Peak Wealth Management
in Plymouth. For over 20 years, we've been working with institutional strategists, putting together low-cost portfolios which match your risk tolerance. If you have over $500,000 in your portfolio, you should consider a second opinion. You can connect with us online and schedule an appointment at peakwm.com.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
The places you'll go may seem far from Ann Arbor. From San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai. But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far. Because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
If you get in foul trouble in Ann Arbor or Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man on your bench. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul, the Michigan Law Grad, at 248-924-9458 or visit his website at michiganlawgrad.com.
So the Big Ten West is interesting.
Finally.
In that, like, it's not good. So somebody has to win it.
No, I think it's a little bit different than that. I think
some of these teams have kind of like risen up to the point of.
Anybody frisky. Except Illinois can probably win the division, and I would say Northwestern, except they won it last year.
Yeah,
but I feel like they can't
inexplicably
win.
Inexplicably outperforms how they should perform on a regular basis.
But they're going to be in overtime in every game, so if they get the right coin flips, they could work.
Yeah,
but I mean Minnesota is interesting. They have a potential first round receiver.
Another good receiver on top of that.
And they've got Ibrahim, who I think got an 80 grade from Pro Football Focus his first year.
Yeah, it was like really good after contact.
They get Rodney Smith back. They get Shannon Brooks back. They have Daniel Falele as their right tackle. They had two...
We're not sure if that's good yet as much as it's just interesting.
It's interesting, yeah. So they played two true freshman quarterbacks last year, and they were okay. And one of those guys is, I think, out for the year with an injury, so they're really... relying on the guy who's not Anixtad, because Anixtad's out.
Yeah, it's Tanner Morgan.
But, like, so true freshman to sophomore, that should be a big leap for that guy. And then on defense, they have a couple of dudes. So they have
Carter Coughlin,
who's like the Josh Uche of the Big Ten West, except he plays every down. And then they have Blake Cashman at linebacker. And then they have a.
Wait, I thought Cashman's gone.
Cashman's gone. Don't they have a decent linebacker, though? I thought they had somebody.
Thomas Barber's pretty good.
Yeah, and then they have a rising cornerback who Pro Football Focus is all
about. Yeah. Pro Football Focus likes both their cornerbacks.
So, I mean, this is a team that if they get some breaks here and there, they're good enough to like win the division.
They're also bringing back Antoine Winfield, who was injured last year.
Yeah, Winfield's good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So, yeah, there are good reasons that they struggled when they did last year, and... Like, this could be, you know, PJ Fleck takeoff here.
They also do not have to play Michigan, Ohio State, or Michigan State, so the schedule breaks for them in a pretty big way.
Yeah. So,
And they get Wisconsin at home the last game of the year.
So, I'm kind of feeling...
You're feeling the Gophers?
I am.
Feeling the Gophers.
So, will the brown jug change hands if they play in the Big Ten championship game?
It should. Right? Like...
Oh, yeah. Shoot. How would that work?
That'd be like the most important brown jug game ever. I guess there's probably one from 1948.
My history podcast guests are all like screaming. Greg Dooley is actually like banging on the door downstairs.
All right. In 50 years. Is that sufficient?
Thank you.
That any of us were alive for.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be fun. I would vote yes.
And then you have Purdue, who still has Brohm. They still have Rondale Moore.
Mm-hmm. Which is such an upset.
They still have David Blau?
No, the other one. They're
Elijah Sindelar.
I thought he's gone.
No, Sindelar is the starting quarterback. Okay. Bryson Hopkins is a tight end who is a pretty solid player.
Yeah, excellent up the seam threat.
So, like, and they bring in Karlaftis. I don't know how good he's going to be in year one.
I mean, like, freshman ends, you can get some production out of those guys.
But, I mean, last year, this is a team that beat Ohio State 49-20 and lost to Minnesota 41-14 or something.
So who the heck knows? But they do, they, like Minnesota, have a pretty favorable draw in terms of they miss the same three. They don't get Michigan State, or Ohio State. So that's another...
And
Purdue
Rondell
and Minnesota
Moore.
May rise up just based on schedules.
And then Wisconsin is Wisconsin, so they always have the ability... to win the division. I just doesn't feel like this is a prime Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, and they did not get the scheduling draw. They play all three of those teams.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Michigan State's defense is one that will give them problems.
Yes, that might be a just drag that game down to the muck.
Yeah, that's going to be like a 6-4.
Yeah. They don't have to play Penn State.
You can only play three.
Yeah, you can only get the three.
So,
they didn't get extra screwed.
Yeah. So they're going to be hard pressed to maintain their kind of spot at the top of the division.
And Iowa is actually might be peaking for Iowa in the ways that Iowa peaks. Their tackles are awesome.
I mean, they all have good points and then Big Ten West points.
Yes,
and then. So Nebraska brings back Adrian Martinez, who's also going from a true freshman to a sophomore.
Yeah.
They have J.D. Spielman in the slot. They lost Stanley Morgan. I mean, they don't really know who their running back is, I don't think. Their offensive line is...
The way Scott Frost talks about it, it sure seems like he's expecting it to take another year.
Yeah. But he did have a pretty big turnaround in year two at UCF.
Sure did.
You know, and he's got a quarterback, and that's the most important thing. His defense is kind of the big question, because they were appalling. They gave up 6 points to Michigan State, people. They gave up multiple scores. They gave up 2 field goals to Michigan State.
Yeah, and Pro Football Focus loves their linebacker that I hated.
Who's that?
I forgot the name again.
Muhammad Berry.
Yeah, Mo Berry. He was the guy who
that
was...
That dude's good. Their D-line just stinks.
He's bouncing into his other linebacker all the time. Like, he was just keying on Michigan's backs, and when Michigan started, you know, shooting a fullback to the backside, he just ran into the fullback or just kind of watched it until his buddy hit him.
That might not be his fault. That might be a key that Michigan detected. And
if you're playing off of keys, you're not watching. You're not reading your guard. If you're not reading your guard, you're not a good linebacker.
This might be oversimplifying.
Yeah, well, it's
if the guard that you're reading isn't pulling because they're running down G. And then your attention goes to the fullback who's headed to the back.
Now, he was the front side guard. He should have been attacking that gap.
Well, no, because you have a blocker for one linebacker.
Yeah.
You don't have a blocker for two.
I think it's fair to say he had a bad Michigan game, and that's mostly when I watched him.
Mm.
And the game before that. Anyway, they have cornerbacks. DiCaprio Boodle's a pretty good cornerback.
It's a better name.
He's a pretty good corner.
Looking forward to this podcast 5 years from now when we're still saying DiCaprio Boodle. Given the way the rest of this podcast has gone.
Yeah, he's a junior, so we'll get a couple of years based on how this is going. And then Lamar Jackson has a lot of talent that he hasn't quite harnessed yet.
I think that he's a safety that they're trying to play at cornerback.
I do, too. He's 6'3", 215.
Yeah.
I mean, for the Big Ten West, it's working. Like, you know, you can play Iowa with that all day.
You might not be able to play Minnesota with that, though.
No.
Which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah. And then Northwestern cannot win this division again.
But they just, they might find a way.
I know that
way.
They just did.
They have the gas.
They have the gas.
They might just find a way. They do have to play Michigan State and Ohio State so that they don't get the scheduling breaks that they did last year.
Clayton Thorson is finally gone. There's one guy who's been around forever that is actually out of eligibility in this conference.
They get Scourneck back at wide receiver, and
they have Hunter Johnson stepping in from Clemson as their QB, which could be interesting.
Could be interesting. That's true.
They have another running back who does not produce many yards per carry, but gets the ball a lot, and they like him. Isaiah Bowser.
Is that Bowser? Yeah.
Just call him Justin Jackson.
Justin Jackson's getting NFL reps.
Everybody has who plays running back for Northwestern has to change their name to Justin Jackson.
Just forever and
just
ever.
Just forever.
Justin Jackson had to have gotten to the NFL and was like, can I just like sit out this year? Just no carries for a little bit and then I'll come back.
They lost their super back, which is always a big deal for Northwestern. Right. And they don't have like an obvious super
back. Yeah, their super back retired. I know because I was going to draft him because that's what I do and draft to get.
take the super back.
And then he retired and I was like, come on.
Well, you gotta project which of their 4 other super backs on the roster is going to break through.
All right, we're going to do the thing where we say the same thing at the same time, and that's who wins the West on 3. 1, 2, 3. Minnesota.
Iowa.
You didn't say anything.
Yeah, I didn't have enough time to think about it. I'll go with Wisconsin, actually.
Wisconsin?
All right. I said Iowa, so.
That's how wide open it is.
I don't feel at all confident in Wisconsin either. I mean, it's just a mess in there.
Row the boat!
Could be with the way those schedules break.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and talk about the other division.
What's your ideal retirement age? Are you saving and investing enough to reach your goals? Are you on track to pay off your mortgage before retirement? How much income do you really need in retirement? I'm Nick Hopwood, certified financial planner, founder, and president at
Peak Wealth Management
in Plymouth. When clients walk out the door after a planning meeting, they know exactly what their needs are and where they stand relative to their goals. In my experience, most advisors don't do any planning at all. So my guess is now is the perfect time for a second opinion. And you can book your second opinion online at peakwm.com.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
In southeastern Michigan, the yearly cost for a nursing home averages $90,000. It doesn't have to, though. Reed McCarthy founded Ann Arbor Elder Law after handling a tricky situation for his own family. Years of experience later, his boutique firm works with clients across Southeast Michigan dealing with Medicaid planning, long-term care, and tax, disability, and family law, not to mention family dynamics. If you have a family member who may need that level of care, or if you're ready to start your own estate plan, Reed can give you a plan for the future. Visit AnnArborElderLaw.com or call 734-945-9693. That's 734-945-9693.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go!
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
Passion for e-commerce.
Sell stuff online.
Security. Performance.
Conversion.
Beautiful user experiences.
Belle expérience utilisateur.
Monthly marketing.
PPC SEO.
Make your user a customer.
Conversion.
Eau de Parfum for online retailers. Love your website. Let Human Elements show you how. Available at human-element.com and find department stores, not find department stores.
So by now, I'm sure you've heard about Homeshare Lending and my friend Matt Demarest. I'm going to tell you once again, if you are buying or refinancing a house, this is who you got to call. Everyone who's used him so far from our site has said the same thing. And, you know, my experience itself, we just bought a house just a couple years earlier before we refinanced. And so we got to, like, see one-to-one comparison between the bank that we worked with and working with Matt, and it was just a completely different experience. He really knows the industry well. He knows what you need to provide him so you don't have to keep on going back and forth all the time. He can shop with different lenders so he can get you a priority with them. And like I said, everyone who's worked with him has gotten the same feedback. So if you are looking to buy or refinance your house, please go to homeshorelending.com/mgoblog and Matt will set you up. That's Homeshore Lending, NMLS number 1161358. Big news, no, it's boom, Tom Cruise, Mumbai. I lit up that December night like the 4th of July. Vanilla sky, thriller, in Manila. Knocking them out like Pacquiao. No, I lead no Frazier. But from there, I was off to Malaysia. Two passports, three cities, two countries, one day. Now that's worldwide. If you think it's a game, it's play, dial it. Every time I look into your eyes, I feel like I could stare at them for a lifetime. We can get started for life, for life.
Is this one leaders or legends?
We are the...
Which one's supposed to be better?
I don't remember.
Which one's in the Michigan fight song? Because it'll be the other one.
Oh, we were in
Legends because Leaders is in our fight song.
Right. Yeah.
They always make sure that if it's the words in our fight song, we're not in that division.
Yeah.
So now the divisions are the Victors and the Spoils, and we're in the Spoils division.
All right. So this looks like a two-team race, really, with maybe Penn State popping up and...
fringing around as a third team. They have accrued, yeah, like, for all the, like, when we look at it, like, the individual personal losses that they had, if you go and look at, like, SB Nation's Bud Elliott has his, like, blue chip ratio, yeah, and whatever that he uses for measuring national title contenders, and they've gotten, like, into that blue chip ratio where they qualify,
yeah,
where they have about half their team is four or five star level players.
It's just weird because, I mean, this game against Michigan has been just a succession of awful beatings.
So, yes, yeah, it has.
So there's two, like, absolute Michigan blowouts, and then Penn State absolutely blew us out in Happy Valley, and now we go back to Happy Valley, and that, the, like, as of the teams on the schedule, like, that's probably the number two most probable loss behind Ohio State.
Yeah, traveling to Wisconsin, depending on how that shakes out.
Eh.
That's what S&P thinks could be. S&P thinks that's actually our hardest game.
At Wisconsin?
It's very close.
Wow.
It's a 1% difference between that and Ohio State.
I disagree with S&P.
So do I.
they like the road, and yeah.
But, like, I mean, Michigan State's not doing anything. Rutgers isn't doing anything. Maryland isn't doing anything.
Penn State's got a break and a new quarterback.
And Ricky Rain... serious Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, as we discussed, the transition from Moorhead could be much rockier now.
But their defense could hold them in enough games, and then, you know, they'll have one of those games against Ohio State where they return a field goal for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And then other various pratfalls that never, ever happen in a Michigan-Ohio State game happen, and then they win by 2 points.
Right.
Or they'll take two timeouts and call a run on fourth and five.
Oh, my God.
One of the two.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's the thing about Franklin is that there were Penn State fans who were, like, kind of having a snark fest on Twitter about how, like, oh, he's a good coach. You guys shouldn't make fun of him. And I'm like, I mean, but come on.
he's going to do that. He's a fantastic recruiter. He's probably the best recruiter in the conference now that Urban's gone.
But, when it comes to, like, minute-to-minute decisions, some of the stuff that he does are just...
Yeah, like that field goal down 28-0 is always going to stick in my mind.
Or like the...
I'm just going to picture him doodling the Big Lebowski doodle on his playbook.
Well, and worse than that was when he faced off against Brady Hoke.
Like, the whole, like, take a timeout before...
Yeah, to give someone a free Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And then he took another timeout when he was punting from the one-yard line.
I think we gave them the free Hail Mary. They punted from the one-yard line.
They took a timeout. Yeah.
They had to think about it before they kicked up.
Suffice it to say, it was difficult to tell which coach was more incompetent.
And this was a game involving Brady Hoke.
Yeah, and game day management stuff. And
only one of those dudes is wearing a headset.
Yeah.
I wonder if, like, Ricky Ronnie ever just, like, wants to, like, pretend he can't hear Franklin. Like, it's a key situation. And it's like, Franklin's like, let's call timeout.
Based on how Moorhead succeeded, I feel like Ron is...
I
don't think he's got to ignore Franklin as much as just, like, he's got to do his job better.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's good. It's going to come down to the Ohio State game again. And then...
And I'm sure we're all feeling just... great about that.
Yeah, and then we will win that game or lose that game. And nobody can tell which, because there have been no previous Michigan-Ohio State games.
If only there was data to go on.
All right, we're gonna take a break, and then we are going to put our lives on the line by making predictions about next year.
The places you'll go may seem far from Ann Arbor. From San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai. But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far. Because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
Hey, so I have, like, insurance and stuff, but I don't really, like, know what's going on with it.
Yeah, your coverage probably sucks. And you're paying way too much for it. And I know this because I had a guy, his name's Phil Klein. He's actually a Michigan alum and wrestled for Michigan. He looked at my insurance and he was like, yeah, your coverage sucks and you're paying a lot more than you need to for it.
I also I hesitate to even mention this, but I do have my insurance from a company that advertises during college football games.
Well,
and I wish that was not the case.
Well, why don't you just get it from a cool guy who actually reads MGo blog?
Well, how would I do that? They have a website?
They have one of those, too. It's philklineinsurance.com. Can you remember the name Phil Klein?
Sure.
Can you remember insurance?
Yes.
Okay. Use those two together, and you will save money on your insurance, and you will actually get better coverage on your home and your auto, and they do life, too.
All right. So you're telling me if I Google Phil Klein Insurance, this website will come up?
Yes.
Wonders never cease.
Why do you do what you do? I grew up in the small town of Hazlitt, Michigan, and I witnessed great people I care about making a lot of poor financial decisions. I thought to myself, I never want to be in that position, putting my retirement at risk. Now we want to make sure that your retirement is not at risk. And by providing education and guidance, we inspire our clients to make great decisions, putting them on a path to be able to retire with confidence. I'm Nick Hopwood, CFP, President and Founder at
Peak Wealth Management.
And that's my why.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
Want the perfect game day outfit? Underground Printing has unique, great-fitting UM apparel and officially licensed apparel from legendary Michigan names like Woodson, Howard, Schembechler, Ufer, and more. UGP also specializes in custom-printed apparel and promotional items for groups, events, and businesses. Whether you need one shirt as a gift or 1,000 shirts for a charity walk, Underground can customize almost anything for groups large or small. To learn more, visit Underground Printing at one of our three convenient locations around Ann Arbor or online at undergroundshirts.com.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus, with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout-out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn, Ann Arbor, downtown.
Red light, green light, everybody take a shot. Red light, green light, give me everything you got. Red light, green light, everybody take a shot. Red light, green light, what you waiting for? Give me the green light, 'cause I'm ready to go. Let's have a good time. What you waiting for? You only got one life, and we gon' live it up. So give me the green.
This is sort of a gimmicky top five, but I don't really have an order for this because they're not really ranked. But we're gonna.
All of mine player specific. I don't think that was necessarily the goal, but
that's fine. That's completely fine. And then after the season is over, we will revisit these, and someone is going to be pelted with tomatoes or possibly pears. I don't know.
Surprised it's not lemons, given the history of
this. Well, I don't want to be pelted with lemons.
That might hurt.
Maybe we'll change their verb from pelted to given. Anyway, Ace, you're number five.
Mine is Aiden Hutchinson gets 8 sacks.
All right.
I really like his potential off the edge. I think he's going to be able to ward off Mike Dana to a certain extent. I mean, they'll obviously rotate through, but I just really like his long, just ward guys off and get a bunch of, and also his Winovich-like relentlessness, which I think came through a little bit last year, where you pick up some garbage sacks a little bit. I think he'll put up some decent numbers.
Is that number five?
The first play from scrimmage from Michigan is an RPO, and we all celebrate.
At least it's not a, not a zone stretch to the left.
Yeah.
Mine is that Patterson sets a single-season receiving passing touchdown record.
Okay. What do you have for the number Michigan? For what that is in Michigan?
No, it's probably like
24.
it's probably John Navarre from 2003. I know that's the yardage mark.
I know that Rick Leach said it once at 13.
Indeed,
it came up on one of our podcasts recently.
Well, I mean that was a different era when.
Yeah, but you should have gotten through the 1960s with at least someone getting.
Benny Oosterbond never had more than 13 touchdowns.
It's 25. It's a tie held by Elvis Gerback in 91 and Chad Henne in 2004. Having good receivers, helpful.
25. All right, that's the number. Ace, your number four.
My number four is every offensive lineman, starting offensive lineman, earns some level of all-conference.
Okay.
It's basically projecting that Jalen Mayfield is like at least an honorable mention all-conference right tackle.
All right. Seth, you're number four.
Cesar Ruiz is the best center in the Big Ten, and I know Tyler Biadasz.
Biadasz is
around.
Tyler B.
Yep. So Cesar Ruiz, huge year, best year by a center in Michigan since at least Payne.
My number four is that Michigan beats Michigan State by 22 points.
And it's going to be extremely specific.
It's going to be one of those. It couldn't be 21, right? Obviously, it's going to be one of those slow motion. Grind them games where it's sort of close through halftime, and then in the third quarter, Michigan scores a touchdown, and you just know it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michigan State's defense kind of melts because you have to look at what happened.
Does this include an MSU face-saving period that gets it back to 22 after it's at like 39?
No, because Michigan won't be able to score that many points against a pretty good defense, and their offense won't be able to execute the face-saving plan. But if you look at what happened to the Michigan State rival when Harbaugh showed up, the first year they have the punt game, which is a Michigan win that didn't turn into
a
Michigan
win.
The second year it's the John O'Korn game, whatever. They score
don't count that.
14 points.
Yeah.
Five interceptions.
And then last year It was a butt whooping.
Yeah. And 16 was a butt whooping.
Yeah.
And
very enjoyable safety error.
Oh, yes.
Extra point return.
And the state news
and
afterwards.
The defeat with dignity, yeah. So if you look at
the newspaper hanging on my wall.
You know, if you look at what's happened in this game since Harbaugh showed up, Michigan has won every game where they haven't been playing John O'Korn, and that was a 4-point game.
Yeah.
So, like, doesn't really
the
matter.
The tide of that rivalry has shifted despite the wins and losses.
Right, and if you're looking at the kind of things that Michigan State loves to do with their linebackers, they are very vulnerable to RPOs, and I just think that this is over. Like, the Michigan State, D'Antonio is a thing era is over, and Michigan will emphatically state that.
About damn time.
I like the 22, too, because it means State was trying to, like, make a mental...
Right. They're going to
send
a message.
A mental message with their message. Final touchdown. And
Ace number three.
Levert Hill goes multiple games without seeing a target.
Yes.
That's easy.
I don't know if that's easy, but yeah.
It's tough to go multiple games without seeing a target, a quarterback, but he's going to... Cornerback, but he's going to...
I mean Army and Wisconsin.
It's more about the rest
the
of the secondary,
times.
But okay, yeah, the Army game.
Army game doesn't
not,
count.
Not including the Army game, I will happily not include that because that's totally not
also,
fair.
There's like a Rutgers game in there where no cornerbacks are going to see targets.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there were multiple games last year where the number of targets Michigan quarterback saw was like under two.
Scant few, yeah.
Seth, you're number three.
This was a game all last year, and I think we're finally going to get it. Shea Patterson fakes out a cameraman so bad that he actually makes it off screen before like the camera finds him again. It's happened so many times. He's gotten so close to running off screen, and then the cameraman just picks him up right before he gets off there.
I feel like the cameraman people will be better prepared this year. That's what I feel. So I have a very similar number three to Ace's number five, and that as I think Aiden Hutchinson is going to be the best defensive lineman Michigan has, specifically as measured by tackles for loss.
Okay.
So I think he finishes number one in TFLs and also is the best graded in UFR and Pro Football Focus.
This is a lot of disrespect for Quiddy Pay, the best
the most technical.
Most technical.
I
like the quote better originally.
We'll see.
The best player in the country.
If Pay does blow up like that, then that would be nice. Ace, number two.
Zach Charbonnet breaks 1,000 yards rushing.
What?
That's a lot.
It is a lot, although when you look at Michigan's numbers last year, you have to remember that they're going to run a lot more plays.
All right.
And I think Charbonnet is the most exceptional running back prospect they've had here in a
Don't
very
say
long
it.
Time.
Peripheral vision only.
In a very long time. Oh, how about this? His running back film is better than any I've seen in a very long time.
All right. And Seth, you're number two.
Michigan breaks out a 3-3-5 or some kind of tight defense against Notre Dame with a three-man line. It's awesome, and then we're all mad that we didn't use it against Ohio State because we beat Notre Dame 38-0.
Yeah. My number two is that Michigan has 2,000-yard receivers.
Huh. Oh, it's
like that one.
Which two?
Collins.
Yeah.
And it depends on whether Peoples-Jones is healthy. If so, Peoples-Jones. If not, Tariq Black.
All right.
Ace, you're number one.
Somewhat related, Nico Collins is an All-American.
Seth, you're number one.
Ohio State makes the I Made a Huge Mistake gif, and Urban Meyer returns next year.
No. That's not happening. Mine is in direct defiance of Ace's number two. Drew Wilson leads the Michigan's running backs in carries. So, we will...
We're going to have a face-off about
we
this.
We will pack these up.
All season long.
I'm glad I deleted my Christian Turner one, because I did not want to be part of this running back.
We almost could have had...
You should.
It was going to be Christian Turner has the longest play from scrimmage for Michigan.
Three-person standoff.
Yeah. Mexican standoff is what it is.
Yeah.
I'll put that one in there. Christian Turner has the longest play from scrimmage for Michigan this year.
Mm. All right. I got DPJ in that field.
Longest play from scrimmage?
Wow.
Charbonnet.
Ah. All right, so we're going to pack those up and humiliate each other, or possibly be correct in all facets, except for ones that are directly opposed to each other.
And the loser will be beaten with lemons in a burlap sack.
Are the lemons in the sack, or is the person in the sack?
Both.
Okay.
Just slamming burlap sacks into each other.
All right, so this is... We're definitely going to do this and not just sit later by buying some burlap sacks and going, ow, the lemons.
Thank you for listening to the three-part MGO Blog Mega Season Preview Podcast. I am Ace Ambender, along with Brian Cook and Seth Fisher. Burlap sacks for everybody!
played better